Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, everybody, I'm Kim Holderness.
And I'm Ben Holderness. Thank you for checking out the Holderness Family Podcast.
Well, we're so glad you're here.
Yes.
And today's a good one. First of all, thanks for being here. Second of all, if you could see us right now, Ben is wearing his omnipresent, currently adulting hat.
Well, it fits me.
Well, which seems very self-serving that you're wearing your own merch.
Yeah.
Just a special plug for those with big heads. This is a good big head hat, and you can find it in our shop. So just go to theholdernessfamily.com and it's there.
And it's got cool rainbow colors.
Yeah. He's trying to do something else besides the fact that it fits his big head. And I have a big head too, and it fits. It's great. Anyway.
So listen, well, we hope today's podcast inspires you and gives you some hope. We are talking with a very special soul who inspires anyone they talk to with the simple fact that she's 102 years old. Her name is Gladys McGarry, and we love her.
Dr. Gladys McGarry. She told us to call her Gladys.
Yes.
She's a visionary doctor and co-founder of the American Holistic Medical Association and is known as the mother of holistic medicine. Dr. Gladys has lived an amazing life. She has 6 children, ran a medical practice for 6 decades, beat cancer twice, still walks 3,800 steps a day, which sometimes I got to tell you is more than I do. And she just released a new book called The Well-Lived Life, a 102-year-old doctor's 6 secrets to health and happiness at every age. That's ahead. But first, I don't know if it's because we've spent years dealing with Penn's parents' declining health, but many of our conversations surround not just longevity and living a long life, but living a long life well. And I have to say, before talking to Dr. Gladys, I don't know if I even wanted to be 102. 102 wasn't even a goal for me.
Yeah.
But if I could be 102 like Dr. Gladys, I don't know. It seems pretty tempting.
Yeah. I mean, look, I know I'm not alone that I haven't said this to my kids yet, but I think a lot of people have said to their kids, hey, if I start wandering around and don't know what's going on, and I'm in horrible health, if there's a way you can just drop me off somewhere and just leave me to, you know, let the natural elements take its toll, go ahead and do that. And my father told me that indirectly and then incredibly directly, and it was like the last thing he told me. He was like, end it for me. Yes. I'm ready to be done with this. That's a bigger conversation that we can have on another podcast, but I know what you're saying. Like, it's I don't have any goals still to live to be 102 years old. We're going to do an entire podcast about how Kim and I went kiteboarding a couple of weeks ago, and we couldn't turn our head correctly
for a week
because of falling into water, which is generally pretty soft and not too bad. But like, we're getting old enough already physically that when I wake up in the morning and I go to the bathroom, I'm on the toilet for an extra minute.
Ben.
And listen, let's get this out there, because I am less than half of Gladys's age. So let's be honest about this. She's got to really inspire me to make me want to do this because I'm getting old already. You can't tell, but I can tell.
So I have to say, you know, a lot of what we do through nutrition, exercise, even our work, you know, it helps us, you know, the goal is to keep sharp and to be physically able to enjoy our life. So we asked Dr. Gladys, and that's what she asked us to call her, what keeps her motivated to keep going at 102?
I've been wanting to retire since I was about 30. So I'm doing the math here. I'm still working. I'd love to retire when I'm 50.
That's not going to happen.
I don't think I could work for 54 more years, which is what I would have to do to catch up with you. And you are still working. So I guess my other question is, what is it that keeps you wanting to work?
Well, first of all, I can't now practice medicine because I don't have a license. I gave that up.
Good for you.
But they didn't tell me to stop talking. Yeah. So, you know, I can still practice medicine in a way that is working with people's lives. So I'm calling it life coaching. It's like the work that I'm doing now has taken on a different, I'm not practicing a medicine in the way that I did when I was actually dealing with disease processes and so on. Now, I have patients who are friends. They always have been my friends and my colleague in the process of the healing. But now my whole energy is working towards building a village for living medicine where people can come and live the kind of lives that is helpful to the whole world. It's that expansive.
And I think that the difference is, and I think Penn and I have talked about this, we use it work in air quotes. This podcast could be defined as work, but it's our most favorite thing we do. I would say there are parts of what we do that we will always do.
Yes.
And
yes.
Don't you think that Dr. Gladys, that finding, how do I say this? That finding something you love to do, I don't know that I think if we ever retired, using air quotes, or just stopped working or producing or creating, I think my brain and body would decline faster. I mean, so should we be chasing this elusive, like, I'm going to just go retire on a beach life? Or should we always have that thing that we're working on? Do you credit that?
Maybe, you know, you should do what you should do, not what someone else tells you to do. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, my eyesight has gotten so difficult because of glaucoma and stuff that I can't read, but I can, you know, I books by audio and that kind of stuff. So my eyesight may be damaged, but it has sort of opened up aspects of my insight so that there has been times when I have gotten insights into what I can do, what I can reach out, what fills me with joy. And those things are awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, thoughts that I didn't think of when I was busy doing the things that I could see and read and do and all that kind of stuff.
I love that she's still working to help people, but I also love what she said, how her decline in vision is helping her notice the gifts around her.
Yeah, the other senses have come alive.
Yeah.
I say that anytime I have to close my eyes or maybe have like eye surgery. When I had eye surgery a couple of months ago, I was like, honey, my other senses have come alive.
Really. And I know it's true that I think the most thankful and appreciative people I've ever met are the ones in struggle. And there was this time when a very dear friend of mine, gosh, it's probably 10 years ago, her sweet little boy needed a really risky surgery to save his life. And it was a big, big surgery. And they were in a, you know, they were at a hospital filled with kids getting very risky surgeries, but the families there were just so grateful. And they talked about how lucky they were to be in a time with these, you know, and here I was with healthy kids at home, surrounded by people whose children were on the brink, but yet they were way more grateful and expressed way more gratitude than I. It was really eye-opening. So just, I feel like it was such a good reminder of how, a way to look at life. I just thought, found it very inspiring. As we age, yes, things may decline, but it will just help you appreciate all of those other gifts.
Yeah, it's pretty fitting that you're talking about that because we saw that kid this past weekend.
I know.
Running around like a crazy person and doing improv comedy, which is very, it's a heavy lift for anybody yes. who's under 40
or anybody
to be able to pull that off. And so yeah, I'm glad you brought him up and her up and their approach. And I mean, I guess I do want to, before we get back to she asked us to call her Gladys, not Dr. Gladys. Like, just call me Gladys.
I feel like she.
Okay, but you're going to call her Dr. Gladys. Yes. She did mention a lot of gratitude, living the kind of life that's helpful to the whole world and living with purpose. Honey, we've discussed this before. I think what she's saying is potentially there is some medical benefit to caring, mm-hmm. to continuing to give a hoot about something. I want to balance that with being able to do nothing sometimes.
Yes.
Can we talk about that? You and can we just have a conversation as a couple that, like, this weekend mm-hmm. we decided and we lived with intention. We decided we were going to watch 4 straight episodes of Suits.
We rested
and not clean the house. And that was glorious.
So I actually, it was very intentional because I feel as if, especially our oldest child is in this stage of life in which she is very busy. We've done a podcast on the need to slow down. She's in this stage of life where, guys, there's so much summer work for school.
I know, it's crazy.
And she's, you know, working and doing all of these things, very busy. I felt as if I needed to show her what it looked like to not be busy. So I said very intentionally, my body needs rest and my brain needs just mental mashed potatoes. So we've gotten into the show Suits that's 10, 12 years old.
It is mashed potatoes.
It's mashed potatoes for your brain. And we just sat on the couch and did nothing and it was glorious. It's very restorative. I think Dr. Gladys would have been proud of us.
I hope so. And it seems that way, right? But she does talk a ton about balancing those things. But for her, it's really gratitude, mm-hmm. right? It's looking around and saying, man, this is so great what I'm doing right now mm-hmm. that maybe that's part of the cocktail that you put together as a human being that gets you to 102 years old when you're still being able to live the way that she does.
Mm-hmm. If you were my doctor or my life coach, I would just say, tell me exactly what you've done every day for the last 102 years so that I can be cognizant and okay and able to still take 3,800 steps a day when I'm 102 years old. I think if I were your patient, I would just ask you for your journal.
Yeah.
What have you done to get to this point and be this sharp?
I get up in the morning. I say my prayers. I go to the bathroom. I eat prunes with raisin bran. And then my day starts, and I don't know what I'm going to do. Look at what we're doing.
Yeah.
I mean, how awesome is that?
It is awesome.
I mean, when I was a kid, I had no phone. I had no way of communicating with people. It was, you know, I was in the jungles of North India, taking life as it comes, working with it, doing what we feel is actually nurturing us and what it is that makes our hearts sing. You know, what makes you want to get up in the morning? If we're constantly looking for what scares the living bejabbers out of us, we're going to be scared and all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we get over traumas. I think we live through them. Mm-hmm. If we live through them, we know what to do with them. Life is, sometimes it sucks.
Yeah.
You know, it's just awful. And then along comes a time when, whoa, isn't this wonderful? You know, and you know, you can hang on to the times that feel so badly.
You know, sometimes life does suck, Penn.
Sometimes life sucks, and then along comes a time when whoa.
When whoa. And
so I that may not be a great t-shirt because you don't understand. You have to hear her deliver it. But I love that line. There comes a time when whoa.
It's just, it's a wonderful reminder that focusing on the things that scare you, it's not going to help. But that is my natural tendency, is that I go into the fear of it. And I'm reminded of the message from our friend, and we've had her on here, Dr. Hope Seidel. She's a pediatrician and parenting coach, and she urges people to look for the perfect in every situation, because life can be a disaster, but look for what it's teaching you. And there was a situation in our family that had both Penn and I really stressed over the weekend, and I literally had to go to my journal and write it down, look for the perfect. And so it was a very stressful situation, but I had to look and I had to realize what it was teaching us, what it was teaching our child. And there was something we were supposed to learn. And I feel as if I need post-it notes around the house that just say, look for the perfect, look for the perfect. Because, yeah, sometimes life sucks, but there's something perfect in there that it's trying to teach us.
Hey, hang in there. We're going to be right back.
Life is full of what ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? United Healthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The common thread through all of this is optimism. It seems like finding the good in all of life. And I do think that maybe we're in the stage of our life where that's one of the biggest challenges. And here's the reason why. We're in our what people call our prime earning years, right? So the expectations are that this is when you do what you're supposed to do. And then in about 5 years, you get replaced by younger people who know more than you in the workplace.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it's also, we've discovered, you and I think, that this is a way more important parent child rearing age than we thought.
Yeah.
The teenage years. I think at some point along the way, particularly when you've got a couple of, 1 and 4 year olds who are kind of rolling around and running in front of the road, you're like, well, this is the most important time. Mm-hmm. But I don't know that it is. I think it's maybe now.
I think it's all important. But yeah, I think this is mentally more challenging. Yes.
This is way more challenging than we thought. Mm-hmm. And so there is all of this stress to get it right. Mm-hmm. And so it probably is the most important time to do all the things that she's saying.
Yeah. And just to sit, and I think there's so many people who listen to this podcast and we get such wonderful messages, and there are people who are a little farther down the road than we are parenting wise. And you guys send us such encouraging messages like, your kids are going to be great. There's 1,000 paths to get to, to the end destination. And I am encouraged by that, but it is something special about a 102-year-old saying, Yeah, sometimes it sucks, but sometimes it's great. And that's life. It's the entire ride.
My favorite part about the entire interview we had with Dr. Gladys was when she started talking about when she was a kid, like her first 2 years in school. Yeah. And so not just because of the story that she told, but I did the math.
Yeah.
And I was like, she's telling a story from the 20s.
Yeah.
The great, like Great Gatsby was going on. They were doing the Charleston when she tells this next story. I'm sorry. Like this is
amazing.
The perspective that she has, they didn't have, as she said, they didn't have a phone. They didn't have phones.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to play this, this clip that's going to give us all again, some hope, but just I'm imagining what the world looked like back then.
My first 2 years in school, I was so dyslexic that I was a class dummy and I had to repeat the same thing over again because I couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. And the teacher called me stupid and the kids called me stupid and all of that. And so I think I had a very deep-seated trauma that was so deep that I really did claim my voice to be my voice until I was 93.
Wow. But
You know, the good thing was I had this school situation, but at home it was different. I could come up and be accepted and be who I was and do what I knew was important and then go to school and just, you know, be damaged. So that when I didn't really accept my voice for being my voice until I was 93.
93.
Yeah.
She didn't find and use her voice in the way she wanted entirely until she was 93. I'm 47. I've got time. This is I loved hearing this because my pressure's off.
Yeah.
You can still find your voice.
You can live a whole other life. You're half. Yes. You're almost exactly half of that. Also, I want to clarify that when we asked her what that meant, what happened when she was 93, it was when she moved away from practicing medicine and into motivational coaching and also into writing. It was the books that really kind of made that difference for her.
There was a meme or something I read online, and if you wrote it, let me give you credit, but it's something like, you know, all these 40 under 40 lists aren't that impressive. Show me the person who got a PhD at 60. And it, all the, that is, to me, the person who starts going to the gym at 70, that is far more impressive to me than somebody who won an award at 32.
That's a good idea.
Yes.
I don't know what's happened to me. I've gotten more pissed when I see 40 under 40.
I know.
Is that, am I petty? Is anybody else doing the same thing?
I'm still doing the game. When I see somebody doing something that I kind of want to do, you know, they've written an amazing, you know, book, screenplay, something, and they're 37. I'm like, ugh.
Those 40 under 40 lists are not for people over 40.
Well, obviously, that it's in the title.
No, you know what I mean. But to read it, you open it up and you're like, oh, shut up.
I know. Of course you had it.
Congratulations. You did this fast, millennials.
No, but does it remove some of the pressure for you hearing her say that she didn't find the voice that she identified as her true voice until 93? Or does it? Or does it?
I mean, can I be honest?
Yeah.
The couple things are happening. Mm-hmm. I'm very happy that Dr. Gladys found her true voice and got all that wisdom when she was 93. I'd love to get that, you know, big moment out of the way a little earlier.
Yeah.
So I can enjoy, I know I'm about to say so I can enjoy life, but she's still enjoying life.
I know.
She's like, that was 9 years ago for her. I've told PC that I'm a little bit like Thanos because he's a Marvel guy, but Thanos is the worst person ever, right? Where he he snapped his finger and he eliminated half of the universe. Mm-hmm. I'm not like him in that sense, but he did it so that he could be done and then just sit and enjoy the world quietly, which that was a part of me. I was like, oh, Thanos, look at you.
Wow, I've never heard that about you.
You want to be able
this podcast is teaching me so much.
Well, I don't want to eliminate half of the population, but I do want to sit.
Yeah.
And just enjoy things. So I know I said this before just a few minutes ago, but I think for me, it's really battling the two sides of I do want to seize the day. I do want to live life as much as I can. I want to be like her in a lot of ways, but I also want to sit and enjoy and look over and survey and say, this is the world. And those two things I think will be in a healthy conflict, I hope, for the rest of my life.
Yeah. I think you married somebody that has trouble sitting, obviously, and resting. So I think resting is more of my challenge. And
yeah, I'll be always be moving.
Yeah. I think more intentional, just reflection is my challenge. But I don't know, as a woman, hearing that there's still time for me to figure it out. And I bet you if we actually asked her one more a follow-up question to that is, do you think you're done? She'd say no. I think she still feels like she has a lot of work to do.
Well, on that sense, do you think that you've found your voice yet? I feel like you've, in this job, in this podcast, and with these videos, I feel like you have found your voice. But do you think that that's yet to happen?
I think I've found a voice, and I am really fine with the evolution of what that is. Because, you know, under 40, you know, when I was 35, my voice was, in my point of view, was one thing. When I'm 47 now, it's another. When I'm 57, I assume it's going to be way different. So I feel proud that we've created what we're creating. But no, I don't know. I feel like I'm still figuring it out.
Me too.
Okay, next question for Dr. Gladys. What do you think is the biggest misconception around aging?
That you're going to get old. I mean, old is a bad word, you know.
Right.
I have old furniture that is antique.
Yeah, people love old furniture.
Yeah, it's valuable.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But the reality is that we have diminished our own awareness of what it is that we have. And if we're always looking outside of ourselves to fix the stuff that's going on inside, it ain't going to work, folks.
There's this new filter going viral on TikTok, and everybody's done it. It's a pretty realistic filter of what you'll look like as a much older person.
Yeah.
And so many people are horrified by what they see reflected. I did it. I didn't post it. I didn't look amazing. In fact, I thought I would look more like my mom or my dad. I looked like neither. But honestly, it is such a gift to age. Don't you think?
Well, first of all, I had a different reaction with the age filter than you.
Well, you did one.
First of all, I looked like Bob Barker.
You did.
Which is fine. Bob Barker's a good looking guy. But I'm looked at it. I'm like, oh. But what really happened was we were with our friends, Jake and Paige. And we had this was before the TikTok. We had like the aging booth app. Mm-hmm. And we were taking pictures. And then we were taking a second and switching over like before and after. And I've got the phone in my hand, I've got the picture in my hand, and Paige looks at me and she goes, oh, that doesn't look so bad, Penn. And then I look over Paige's husband, Jake, and he's laughing so hard he can't breathe because he realizes what I've realized, which is that I had not applied the filter yet.
Yes.
So I looked so old in the picture that I had taken. It looked like I had gone to the aging booth without the filter, and we laughed very, very, very hard for a long, long time.
It was very funny.
But the reality is, I struggle with that.
I think because I've lost family members when they were very young, I do know that it is such a gift to grow older. But as a society, which I hate it when people say it like that, it is, you said at the beginning of this podcast that in 5-10 years, there's this expectation that we step aside and somebody younger comes forward. As a population of people, getting old is generally viewed as a bad thing.
Yeah.
And I really love that people like Dr. Gladys are out there saying, no, actually, I'm smarter than you people. I know more than you people. I just love that she's out there. And there's so many influencers right now, especially on TikTok, who are grandmothers and they're older, a population of people, because I think this, you know, misconception that aging is a bad thing, I don't know. I think it's just really harmful. Aging isn't bad. Aging is a gift.
It is. I just think we have to be honest about it and open about it. Like it comes with advantages for sure. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to completely ignore the challenges that it comes with. I mean, if you and I had gone to that kiteboarding camp 10 years ago, we would not still be sore and in the amount of pain that we're in right now.
I wiped out, you guys. We'll talk about this maybe next week. I wiped out so hard, and my sweet instructor Zoe has video of one of my falls, and we've replayed it 100 times.
It's because it's amazing.
It's an amazing wipeout. But you're right. I think we get our bodies are showing signs of wear. Items have shifted during flight, right? But I wouldn't go back. I wouldn't go backwards. If somebody said,
no, we've gotten some advantages from being older. Like we care. We've learned how to give less of a bleep.
Yeah.
And I think that has real value. We've got wisdom that whippersnappers, that the people who are coming for our stuff in 5 or 10 years, which I'm just going to go ahead and say they're coming for our stuff. But we're always going to have some wisdom that they don't have. We've got memories of raising our kids in every possible stage, and they've all been glorious and wonderful. Mm-hmm. And wisdom has real value. So I wouldn't trade it either. I'm just trying to be open and honest about some of the physical challenges that come with trying to be young and all that stuff. So anyway, I mean, speaking of all of those perceptions, let's get to our next one.
Let's take a minute and talk about the world, because I would love your perception of the world. You have one that very few people have. You have an absolute, I'm sure, recollection of World War II. And, you know, you've been around to have more wisdom than any of us. The world in the last several decades, in my opinion, has extended the lives of millions of people, a lot of times through medicine, through pharmaceuticals, but the quality of life has not necessarily been there. There has been an unbelievable uptick in skilled nursing and dementia, and my family has been a big part of that. My father had dementia. He passed away last summer. My mother is in skilled nursing and was there with him with Alzheimer's. They've both dealt with that. I believe personally that their lifestyles caused that medicine kept them alive, that the quality of life is not what it used to be. I'm wondering what your opinion is on the way that people are getting older in the world today.
People in the world are scared. They don't know what to trust. People ask me, are you doing conventional medicine or are you doing holistic medicine? I've combined that into what I'm calling living medicine, because if it isn't a process that actually goes with life and love, then that is not a healing process, in my opinion. I think that we have created a world in which the idea is to get rid of diseases and get rid of pain.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yeah.
I think that's for medicine. That's what we were taught in medical school and all of that.
It's so tricky, right?
Yes.
That doctors, their job, and we look to them to keep us alive and extend our lives. And we've learned and had a lot of deep conversations about how sometimes, in some cases, just extending life to extend a number is not always the best. There was a moment in time when your dad, obviously suffering from dementia, they wanted to give him a pacemaker. And he had written, and thank goodness, he had written so clearly in every, you know, when he was more aware, that no life extending, if he were, you know, he knew dementia was coming, and if he was unable to make medical decisions for himself to not extend his life in any way. So that the choice was not yours or your brother's. He made that choice. But we had a choice and the doctor said this would extend his life by 10 years. And here he was not able to really verbalize. He wasn't able to talk, but they wanted to put in a pacemaker. And so, but that's what they're taught. A doctor's taught that. So, I mean, we went round and round, and it was a really hard decision.
This part of the podcast almost has to be open-ended. I need more answers about this. Like, I need to talk about it more. And It's something that probably deserves several hours of discussion.
Yeah.
But it's really depressing. But it's about the right to die the right way. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I know that my parents needed skilled nursing because I'm not equipped to deal with the advanced level of dementia that they have. Along with the actual care, being there, changing them, clothing them, having these like special devices that get them in and out of chairs because they can't stand anymore, is a list of pharmaceuticals that I am constantly vigilant of and trying to ask the doctors to lessen, but they need them. Dr. Gladys is a holistic medicine specialist, and she is speaking, I think, generally very well about mm-hmm. this, about how people are scared and how, you know, the way that you were taught is to eliminate pain, and she doesn't necessarily love that paradigm either. But I still haven't found the right path of like, what should people do when the brain, when the mind is gone and the body is just hanging on and the person is unable to make their own decisions at that late, late stage? How do you die with dignity? Mm-hmm. And I think about it every day. And I don't know if that got answered.
Because I don't think there's one answer.
Right.
Honey, I don't think there's that answer. But we really went all over the place with Dr. Gladys. It was such an enlightening conversation. To me, I was inspired that 102 could be a goal
mm-hmm.
because she had a better audio setup than a lot of people in their 30s and 40s who we interview.
I know. She had a headset.
She was well aware. She had done her writing for the day. She had done her exercise for the day. Penn really grimaced when he heard that raisin bran and, you know, prune juice was part of her daily.
Yeah, you saw that. I don't like either of those things.
I know. But she prioritizes her health and has really reflected on her place and how she can still be helping people. And so it was really hopeful, but then also it was really important to talk about what the end needs to look like. I don't know. I was really inspired by our conversation.
I'm glad we got a chance to meet her. And 3,800 steps a day is the baseline for us. Because if you can't do someone more than twice your age who does 3,800 steps a day,
then
it's a motivation.
It's a motivation for sure. And her book, her new book, it will be in our show notes. We really appreciated the conversation. And yeah, I mean, I still have some time, so I'm going to go back to washing suits.
Good. Good. We're balancing. We're balancing the get up and go with the sit back and rest. And that's, you know what? That's going to be a fun balancing act for us for the rest of our lives.
We also, financially, we're working so hard to save for retirement. I don't know if we're going to have enough to really extend ourselves to 102. That puts a little pressure on you financially.
No kidding.
Right?
No, listen.
There is this sort of like math equation that they do, your financial planner does. I've seen it. About how...
And there's an end of it.
There's an end.
Because that's when they assume...
You ain't gonna be here.
You're gonna die. And she outdid that by 20-something years, probably.
Yeah. So maybe that's... maybe we just have to keep writing books, babe.
Well, she did one when she was 100 years old, so...
Yeah, speaking of books... Penn has a deadline with a publisher coming up in September, so we're going to go write a book.
Maybe that'll help.
Yeah. Okay, love you guys. Thank you for listening.
Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.